proving that just about anybody can talk about trucks. Live from Tampa, Florida, Minot, North Dakota, and Nashville, Tennessee, it's Talk CDL, The Trucker Show, with Troy, Tyler, and Dave. Now, let's talk CDL.
Well, all right. Welcome to Talk CDL, The Trucker Show. I'm Troy. Tyler's in some kind of a boot camp or something tonight, so I have no idea if he's going to make it or not. And Richie Rich had a men's meeting. Diesel's still laid up with his chest cracked open. And I guess old Kelly, or should I say young Kelly, I don't think she's going to make it tonight. I didn't talk to her in a while. So hopefully Kelly's all right. Kelly, if you can hear us, give us a call, man. Or, well, man. Anyways, listen, we might as well just get right into it. Today's show is about safety on the road when it comes time to being a victim of crime. Many truck drivers are victims of crime, and a lot of times they're victims of crime because they really don't know their surroundings. They don't know where they're at. Many stories that we can talk about tonight, but we're going to read about one, talk about a few. Tyler calls in, we'll bring him in. If not, we're going to get some commercials on, talk about what we are here to talk about, and then we will just get right on the show here. So let me go ahead and play a couple commercials and we'll get rocking.
Hey, drivers. How does a 14.1% pay increase sound? If you were at National Carriers, you'd already have it. With two pay raises in less than a year, members of the elite fleet are making a great living on the road. Our competitive mileage rates and consistent year-round freight mean you can count on steady paychecks and annual earnings of $50,000 or more. But the pay is just one of the perks. As a company driver, you'll also ride in the comfort and reliability of the latest equipment like the Kenworth C680, the Freightliner Cascadia, and utility refrigerated trailers equipped with SmartTalk UT6 aerodynamics. And you don't have to ride alone. With NCI's rider and pet policy, you can enjoy the drive with your family and friends, even if they have 4 feet. National Carriers also offers a generous benefits package, including health insurance, 401k, paid vacation, and holidays. All you need to get started is a Class A CDL and 6 months of experience. Join the Elite Fleet today by calling 888-593-4110 or apply online at gonationalcarriers.com. That's gonationalcarriers.com.
All right, welcome back to Talk CDL, The Trucker Show. I'm your host, Troy, and my mind's not even on the show. I'm doing something here on the internet as I'm talking to you. Let me go ahead and play a couple commercials, and we'll just keep this thing going.
For nearly 40 years, owner-operators have trusted Mercer Transportation to provide them with the freight and support needed to be successful. A 100% owner-operated company, Mercer Transportation provides a strong foundation for owner-operators to build their business on. We understand that for us to succeed, we need our owner-operators to succeed, and that is a responsibility we take seriously. That is why at Mercer you can expect consistent year-round freight, 100% fuel surcharge pass-through, fuel and tire discounts, paid cargo insurance plans. You can receive your settlement for each load within one business day with no additional fees. You will work with an assigned load coordinator who understands your business and will keep you loaded and profitable. Contact a Mercer representative today to discuss your goals and how Mercer can assist you in achieving them. Give us a call at 888-978-1393. That number again is 888-978-1393 or visit us online at www.mercertown.com. Mercer Transportation, rock solid, owner-operator driven. Hey drivers, are you in the market for a new driving job? Are you looking for a small, family-owned carrier that knows you by your first name? Well, let me tell you about North Dakota's best-kept secret. That secret is GMR Transportation. That's right. Chances are you've never even heard of GMR Transportation. GMR is a small, family-owned carrier with 50 trucks and terminals in North Dakota and Wisconsin. GMR may be a small carrier, but they offer big benefits for you and your family. If you've never pulled a flatbed but are looking to pull something different than, say, a typical dry van or a reefer trailer, Then pick up the phone today and call Steve at 877-327-3127. That's 877-327-3127. And be sure to tell him Talk CDL, the Trucker Show, sent you.
Hey, drivers, Troy here with Talk CDL. Imagine one app on your phone that would enable you to look at all the applications out there that you might have with different trucking companies being processed. That's right. Just click on one app called Driver Pulse, and you'll be able to look in and see if a company has you almost hired or if something might be holding the application up. Just imagine how quick and convenient this will be for you and for the trucking company. No more slowdown periods at all. Drivers, head on over to 10thstreet.com. That's TENSTREET.com and download the Driver Pulse app, or you can go to Google Play or just Google it and you'll find Driver Pulse by 10th Street. Get it today.
Well, all right. Welcome back to Talk CDL, the Trucker Show. Hope everybody's okay out there in Trucking Central. Today we're talking about drivers becoming victims of crime. And I'm going to tell you, there's many ways that a driver can become victims of crime. But let me just start out by saying this, especially if you're an over-the-road truck driver. Over-the-road truck drivers, it's a lot easier for someone to commit a crime towards you and not get caught versus someone that knows you. Because usually when the victim doesn't know the perpetrator, he or she that's perpetrating is a lot harder to catch, because is the only motive usually is just money. Okay. And there's many drivers, and I'll tell you a little story. Let me read this article that we have for you today. And we're titling this shebang here is how safe are you on the road? Do you have protection? Dangerous times for truckers. Let's talk about it tonight. And here we are tonight. Excuse me, our boy Tyler couldn't make the show, but let me go ahead and start this out. It says, a teen got 12 years for robbery attempt that left a trucker paralyzed. Now, it says, a 16-year-old who shot a trucker three times during a robbery attempt was sentenced to more than 12 years in prison last week. Now, listen to this. It says the robbery took place last March in Wichita, Kansas. It says Dremus Webster, or Dremus, D-R-E-A, whatever, it's Dremus Webster. He was 14 at the time, 14. And I guess he was just going to fixing to turn 15, because obviously now he's 16, so it's pretty easy to do that. But 14 at the time, and Leslie Pruitt was 17 at the time, attempted to rob a truck driver who was sitting in his truck with his cousin. Now it's not. Now, here's what you got to keep in mind. Now, here's a trucker, right? And he's sitting in his truck on North Rock Road, right? It says the truck driver, David Simeon, was shot three times during the robbery. It said, Simonton. Simonton survived the shooting but was paralyzed, get this, from the chest down. It says his cousin was not hurt. The court prosecuted both Pruitt and Webster as adults. Webster pled guilty to charges of attempted first-degree murder, which probably is why he only got 12 years, aggravated assault and aggravated battery. The judge sentenced Webster to 147 months in prison. Webster was also ordered to pay Simonton $8,000 and pay the Kansas Crime Victims Compensation Board $5,000. Pruitt was convicted and sentenced in April. He faces 200 months in prison. So think about this now. First off, it's a tragedy all the way around. You have a poor man that is now paralyzed from the chest down. That's got to be one of the most horrible nightmares in the world, to where nothing now works from your chest down. I mean, I'm sure this guy has probably gone through times where he probably wished he was dead instead of legitimately. I mean, let's be honest. Everything that he does, somebody has to do for him now. Eat, drink, go to the bathroom, clean yourself. Everything now has to be done by somebody else. And I don't know if this can be reversed. Don't know. Don't know the situation. Praise God if it is, okay? And praise God no matter what. And you know, and the Lord is really the reason this man's alive. I want to tell you, this is one of the most heinous, horrible things that can happen to a trucker. He's out on the road, away from his family, making a living, and somebody just figures, well, there's a person we don't know. And so they pull a couple guns out. And so let's break it down. You've got a man in his truck and his cousins with him. So now you would think, one would think, you know, if you're a team or whatever the case is, you're out there on the road, that you're a lot safer, obviously. They say you're safer in numbers, right? And here's two grown men sitting in a parking lot or a truck stop. I don't even know. It doesn't say. They were just said it was just sitting on North Rock Road, I guess in Wichita there, Kansas. And they get robbed. Then the kid, which, of course, kids, you know, they see movies or whatever, and they think, oh, you got to shoot the victim. I don't know. We weren't there. But the end result is the kid, 14-year-old kid, tries to blow away the trucker. When you run into something like this, my guess is there's probably a lot that plays over your mind. Were you in an unlit area? Were you sitting with your window down? Were you unprotected? I mean, did you try to fight? What, you know, did you get shot because you tried to fight? I mean, or did you get shot because you didn't fight? There's just so many questions that, you know, must race through one's mind when they're in this situation. But I got to tell you, there's many ways a trucker can protect himself. And I would tell you, the first thing is there's a scripture that says walk circumspectly, meaning look around you at all time, man. Watch for evil, watch for bad. You know, if you're a trucker pulling into a parking lot, and I got to be honest with you, when I was a driver, I was as guilty can be, when it came to parking in the darkest, quietest area of the lot. If I was in like a truck stop that had like a big dirt field and there was trees up near a bank or whatever, I would park up in that area. And I've legitimately had my truck off plenty of times with the windows down sleeping. I could have been easily robbed, easily shot, easily killed. So the first thing we want to do is when you pull into a truck stop or a rest area, or even like some of these Walmarts that allow you to park, or maybe just an abandoned diner, you've got to realize there could be somebody that's cruising that area and sees opportunity. A lot of times, a victim is the victim of opportunity on the Crime Perpetrators Act. You know, a lot of times these guys, they're just out prowling, and it's like, wow, look at that. There's two guys who are sitting there with their window down. We can sneak up on them. And that's what I picture happening here. You know, a couple guys, a couple thugs, a couple of young guys, punks, whatever you want to call them, sneaking up and just pulling guns out and taking advantage of two hardworking men. And you see the end result. Looks like Alan's joining us tonight. Alan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Hey, sorry I missed you guys the other night.
That's all right. Tonight's one of those nights where I'm kind of one-on-one here. Now that you join me, I'll bring you up to speed. Tyler took a trip out to Utah. We were on the air last night, and he's out there doing his one-month thing with the Air Force, and I don't know. He doesn't know his schedule. Today's his first day. He's probably still back at the barracks working, so decided to go ahead on. So, anyways, we'll talk about Schneider and you here in a minute, but let me bring you up to speed. Did you see the post on what tonight's show is about?
I have not. I actually just got back in the car. I wanted to call in because I'm a little few minutes behind here, so I just called in.
Well, let me just kind of bring you up to speed. It's titled "How Safe Are Truckers on the Road? Protect Yourself at All Times." What happened was a 14-year-old kid last March and his buddy that was 17-year-old decided to rob a trucker that was sitting there in Wichita, Kansas. And what happened was they snuck up on the trucker, I guess, and they had guns. And they ended up shooting, the 14-year-old ended up shooting the trucker three times. Well, to this day, he's paralyzed from the chest down.
Oh.
And he just got sentenced to 12 years in prison. And the 17-year-old got sentenced to 200 months, which is probably maybe 15, 20 years in prison. A couple of kids, their lives are gone. Truck driver, never going to be the same again. He's got to be weighted on hand and foot. And, you know, what we're trying to do here tonight is just talk about protecting yourself. The first thing we started talking about here is be vigilant. You know, when you're parking in a dark parking lot, you want to find a light. I hate to say park as close to the buildings as you can, but it seems that's the safest way. Windows up, keep the doors locked. Anybody approaching, you know, be very extremely cautious. Alan, how are you seeing it out there on the road? I mean, it's a dangerous, dangerous world, being that the people you run into, they don't know you. They're harder to catch if you're the law enforcement. It's harder to catch people that don't know you versus if you were back in your hometown. First thing they're looking for is people that would have known you that had a vendetta versus what's going on out there on the road. Any thoughts, Alan?
Well, yeah, actually, the one thing that I've noticed is I've become a lot more like hyper-vigilant or hyper-aware of what's going on, especially at night, whether I'm at a shipper's or whether I'm out on the road or pulling into a truck stop or whatever. And I'll tell you this. I had a situation just like what you're talking about. The other night I was in New Albany. I had to go into Cottonwood, Alabama, and I had 3 hours and 45 minutes left on my hours for a 2.5-hour drive, and I got there a little bit early, so it only took me about just over 2 hours and 15 minutes for a 30-minute drop and hook at a delivery that was in a really secured facility. And that 30-minute drop and hook turned into a 2-hour and 15-minute drop and hook. Okay, so I made the change on my Qualcomm right out of the gate, and the remarks and the notes on the receiver on that end. But I was 26 minutes out of service. I had to drive out of the facility, check out. And they did not allow long-term or overnight parking for any drivers because, I mean, it's a super secure facility. There was another lot up on top of the hill that was for some logging organization that also did not allow any overnight parking. But about a quarter mile, and I had to scale, so the closest scale was 20 miles away, which that was out of the question then. And then a quarter mile away, there was a place called Big Cat, which is kind of a combination diesel repair shop, convenience store, restaurant, bar kind of place in a big old metal building down in the bottom of this valley. And it was totally dark. There was a building next to it that was dilapidated and not even functional anymore. There was one dusted on light. Thankfully, there were two other trucks. But I think if there wouldn't have been any other truck there, I had one signal on my phone. It was coming in and out of service, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And it was one of those where you're just kind of watching for something to come out of the woods, because it was on a backcountry road, thick wooded area, and kind of rural, whatever. And you become really present to potential danger, I guess. And so the first thing that I thought about was I would rather risk getting an earful from the DOT and taking the chances on getting caught being out of service and getting to a safe facility because of the misinformation on the workflow, you know, on the load information, or not hesitate, you know, carrying. And I know Schneider has a no carry, no weapon thing, and I definitely don't want to jeopardize any of that. But I think there comes a time when you got to look at what's more important, following the rules or having something at least available, being responsible with it, but having something available where if it's necessary that you've got something that you can do and use to prevent yourself from being in a position where, you know, your life is going to be taken away in a heartbeat.
Well, I have some suggestions here in a second. I see Tyler just bopped in. Tyler, what's going on? Did you see what the show's about tonight, buddy?
You know, I've been so busy today, I haven't had a chance, you know. But what are we talking about?
Alan's with us tonight. He just showed up also. And, basically, Tyler, what's going on is a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old last March robbed a trucker and his team partner, I guess, and they shot the trucker 3 times. He's paralyzed from the waist down, or the chest down, and he just got sentenced this week, I guess, and to 12 years in prison. And, everybody's life was changed. And so we're talking about really how to prevent it. Alan was just telling us a story about how, you know, he went into a drop and hook and he was allowed to park there. You know, places that you got to park, you got to try to find a place. And, a lot of these places, people are out trolling looking for victims. And a lot of times truckers are kind of like just basically a victim of opportunity. You know, they end up parking somewhere, somebody's driving by, and next thing you know, the crap hits the fan. So, Tyler, you got any advice? I know you're a real security safety kind of guy. What's your advice to these truck drivers out there? Alan works for a company that has a no carry policy. And I'll be honest with you, Tyler, and we'll let Alan answer here in a second, but I don't think that a company should be able to take away your Second Amendment right to carry. And I know some states it's illegal to carry in, but you can lock it in a box legally and carry it through that state. What are your thoughts, Tyler?
Man, the pretty simple strategies to, lock your door. Don't open your door for strangers. That, it almost sounds like you're giving out, advice to, your kid the first time you leave them at the house by themselves, but that's really what it needs to be, because nowadays, those truck stops, they're starting to become a lot more of targets than they used to be, I guess, we've seen a lot of cases now where truckers are getting robbed and even shot at, last year we had quite a few, I guess. I didn't even know about this one, but yeah, lock your doors, I think Kelly, gives the advice to take, and tie the two doors shut I forget what she usually says, like tie down strap or something. Strategies like that, it's really all you can do is try and prevent it that way, don't be willy-nilly. I mean, it's kind of hard, I guess, when you see, some younger people like that come up to your window, you're not thinking a 14-year-old's gonna shoot you. You might think they're in need or something, so you might open up the door, and lo and behold, it's a stick up. So that's kind of tricky right there. But other than that, as far as that's concerned, it's really all you can do is some just general same thing you do at your house, to keep your house secure with your family in it. So
one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is a flare gun is a safety item. And you're in your cab and you're in a state that you're not allowed to carry in, and even maybe companies that don't allow you to carry, you sure are allowed to carry a flare gun, because a flare gun may be something that's needed. And you pop one of those flares in and shoot somebody, you could kill them, with a flare gun. I mean, you can light them up hard. So, that's one of the suggestions an old trucker told me a long time ago. At one time, I think carrying in a tractor trailer was illegal. I don't know if it was or wasn't. I know most people think it is illegal. And bottom line is, a lot of guys were carrying flare guns out there. So, that's a suggestion. And the other thing I would tell everybody on here, anything that I suggest, go check out. Don't tell me with a flare gun and then just tell them that Troy told you to do it. Because I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just telling you that's an option. Alan, what do you think?
Well, I never thought about the flare gun, but that makes sense. And I know, Schneider's got a whole list of stuff that is, allowed and not allowed and stuff like that. And I don't remember seeing that on there, so I'm definitely going to check, because, that would definitely light somebody up pretty good. The other thing that made me think about, or what it made me think about when that happened, was there's, and a lot of the research that I'd done even before I went to school, and I know you guys were aware of that, but just with the, you know, FMCSA and the hours of service and all the regulations and the DOT stuff, I mean, it's so rigid that there's a window, there's such a small window. If your day starts and you're at a shipper's and your 14-hour clock starts and you run into a situation that's completely out of your control, which I know it happens all the time. I mean, in just the 11 days I was out, it happened a few times, and you just got to really be okay and deal with it as it kind of goes along, as it happens. But when you get into a situation where when it's a customer caused thing and you're at a point where you're getting really low and you're a half an hour, 45 minutes away from some place that you have to go or go scale or whatever, and there aren't that many parking areas available, or even if they are. The other night, I had my truck worked on in London, Kentucky, and I didn't get out of London until about 5:30 in the evening, and I had a full 11 hours, so I was going to try to make up some time. I'd been at the hotel for a day and a half. I had plenty of rest. I decided to pull over around 3 o'clock. That was the wrong move. I stopped at 5 truck stops and 3 rest areas, and it was so packed, both sides of the entranceways and stuff, where there was no place. You couldn't even stop to go to the bathroom. Like, there was no place to park for 5 minutes just to run in and use the bathroom. Forget staying overnight. So it'd be neat to see what kind of solution that could be made, if it wouldn't be abused. Go ahead in that way. That it wouldn't be abused, where when you're in a situation like that, that you can get someplace. You know, you make some type of notification, and whether you're using Trucker Path or your navigational tool or whatever to try to find parking that's available, to where you wouldn't be penalized for trying to be safe and protect yourself while you're out, rather than going, well, I'm going to park on the side of the road and chance getting a ticket and put myself at risk because I'm following the rules. You know, I mean, the rules are there as a good, strong guideline, I think, as a foundation. But, and I've always kind of felt this, you know, some rules, it's necessary to bend them for the sake of, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to be detrimental to anything in place already inside those rules to bend them a little bit. You know, if the benefit outweighs the risk, you know, sometimes I think it's okay to bend those rules a little bit. And I think if you did get pulled over, I think if, you know, you talk to a state patrolman or any other law enforcement person and explain the situation, and you've got a way to track it on your log and show them your log and say, look, this is what happened. You know, I had no control. I'm trying to do what I can. I would hope they'd be a little understanding, but I guess ever since I started realizing what all the hours of service and those regulations really represent, that there's a pretty tight leash and limitation on what's possible in a unique situation that has to be dealt with, that will take care of the driver.
Yeah. Well, we're, you know, and we're talking here about safety and drivers getting robbed and mugged and, you know, becoming victims of crimes. And, you know, it really is. And sometimes, yeah, you got to drive a little extra maybe to find that safe place instead of a place that's not safe. And, you know, here's the other thing, you know, talk about victims of crime. Now, we just got done talking about a truck driver that was shot by a 14-year-old kid. The kid just got 12 years in prison. I mean, terrible situation for everybody there, both families. And, you know, there's other, besides being mugged and robbed, I mean, let me tell you, well, actually, I shouldn't say besides it, but, you know, drivers fall victim to, and I know we just reported this not long ago, but prostitution scams. How easy is it to get robbed by a hooker? And a lot of times, I think it, somewhere in the Midwest, they've got like 12 victims. Tyler, do you remember where that was? You got, I mean, they're after this prostitute. They've never caught her, but you know, they've got like 12 murders. It's like a serial thing going on somewhere in the country. Tyler, you remember talking about that?
Yeah, we talked about it. I want to say I think it was 2 days ago. We mentioned that.
Michigan?
In our, I forget what we were talking about 2 days ago, but it was a topic kind of relating towards that. I don't remember, but we did mention that.
Well,
I do remember. Yeah.
We mentioned it in passing. It went with something else, but how ironic, here we are this week now, and you've got, you know, we're talking about safety from crimes, and you know that's one of the, man, I'll tell you what, that's, and look, the one thing, you know, that is so true, you can, a lot of guys that get in trouble, if they would just eliminate going to the bad places, and I'll give you an example. One time there was a guy sleeping, I think in Brooklyn, underneath the, you know, a BQE out that way somewhere, and it's like an area where it's all processed. And I've actually slept there already, but let me tell you, one time a couple kids were walking by and they had guns. It was like in the middle of the night. I don't know if you ever heard this story or not, guys, but just walking along and decided to, you know, they didn't even know that there was a guy in the truck, and they ended up shooting the truck, ended up killing the guy. They killed the trucker because the trucker was just in there sleeping. Trucks turned off. You know, it was one of those nights, I guess, where, you know, the temperature was right, and there he is sleeping. Next thing you know, boom, 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 they're just having target practice on the truck as they're walking by, a bunch of kids, you know, thugs. So, you know, that's one story. I'll tell you, one time I had a driver that was, we had hired, I was working for this company out in Kansas City, and we had hired this driver. Oh, no, we had approved him to come work for us, and I couldn't get a hold of the guy to come in. And like a week or two went by, and I talked to his sister and his family and all, and they were like, they were real adamant that, hey, we can't find him. You know, they were saying, and, you know, I didn't believe the guy. Well, they found it, I guess, his vehicle, you know, about 2 weeks later. And you know where they found him? They found him in a dumpster, shot to death, you know, or stabbed, whatever he was. But he was, they think he was trying to buy crack. He was in a crack neighborhood. They didn't, you know, they couldn't figure out why he was even down there, you know? And so, you know, a lot of, like Tyler said, you know, some of this is just pretty obvious stuff. It's just almost like we just got to remind these guys, Tyler, you know, that, look, a lot of it can be prevented by rolling up your windows when you're in bed. Make sure your door's locked. And, you know, if you don't have a gun, get a flare gun. If you don't have a flare gun, get a nice big knife or a nice big aluminum bat, you know. I always had something with me out on the road. I mean, I've never had a problem, but I could sure tell you that, you know, the guy that thinks nothing's going to happen and he doesn't protect himself. And I'll tell you, that's the other thing. When you're getting out of your truck at night, or you're coming back to your truck to get in, maybe you're across the street at a diner or something, and you're coming back, man, you know, carry a flashlight with you, you know, watch who's approaching you. There's so much. And you know what? It's whenever you let your guard down, that's when you usually get it. Tyler, what do you think?
Yeah, 1 second. I'm kind of going through a really hilly area right now, and I think my phone's cutting in and out because you are on me. I think it's my signal.
Yeah. Well, look, I just wanted to talk about this tonight. I don't want to beat a dead horse. You know, bottom line, because I want to talk to Alan a little bit. I want to talk to you, Tyler, about what's going on with you guys here on Talk CDL, the Trucker Show. But you know, look, bottom line, guys out there, and I'll put this in my closing thoughts also. Like Tyler said, it's almost like we got to tell our kids, okay, you drivers out there, I'm going to tell you, if I'm driving by a truck stop and I see your window down and you're in a dark spot, I'm going to pull up to your door, I'm going to take you out of that truck, and I'm going to spank your butt, okay, and then you're grounded, okay, for being stupid. I'm telling you, stop, and think about what you're doing out there. I don't know if you guys noticed, but a couple of years ago, the number one city for trucker muggings was Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, the number one and two cities for truck jackings, where truck drivers get their truck jacks at one time, was Miami and Kansas City. I know Florida, Texas, and California are the biggest areas of trucks getting hijacked. So You guys need to know where you're at, your surroundings. No matter where you're at, you can be robbed, mug shot, you know, taken advantage of. So I would just leave it at that. Start being a little bit more vigilant, okay? Watch around you and stay. You know what my preacher told me one time? He said, yeah, I talked to a guy the other day with a black eye, and he said, I always get in fights wherever I go. And he said, I asked the guy where he was at. He said, I was at the bar. Well, duh. Well, you're going to get in a fight at the bar. And if you're a truck driver looking for hookers, or if you're parking in an area trying to find a little mischief, I promise you mischief will find you. Stay out of trouble. Get home safe to your wife and your kids. That's your obligation. Praise God. All right. Listen, let's change the subject. I want to talk to my two guys here. I want to interview them a little bit. Let me start with Alan first for a second, Tyler. Alan, with a long drag out because we don't got a lot of time, but talk to me, man. How's your first week going? Now you got a week or two out on the road. You don't have a trainer anymore. I mean, what's the biggest miles you put in so far in 1 week? You got a couple weeks under your belt.
Well, I've been out 10 days, okay? I was out 10 days.
How many miles you run?
Truck was down a day and a half, and I was stuck at the shippers for 2 days. And I've got
stop.
2,800.
Okay, I can understand this, the truck being down, but why would you be stuck at a shipper for 2 days?
The gross overloaded me 680 pounds. The closest scale was almost an hour away. Had to go back, have them offload the whole trailer, reweigh each pallet, reload the trailer. They still put me super, super heavy on the back tandems. I ran out of hours, had to go with cargo claims, go back to the shipper and do a bunch of, I mean, it was a nightmare. It was like loads from hell.
Did you get layover?
What's that?
Did you get any pay?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 It was just, the only bummer was I was trying to get back for the boys championship swim meet competition and I missed it, which it happens. And we've been having a good time though. And so I was kind of disappointed, but it was out of my control. But anyway, with all that out the 10 days, 10 and a half days, I was right at almost 2,800 miles.
So 2 days stopped. It sounds like in 10 days, you really only ran about six and you got 28. Is that about right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Now tell us the states you've been in. I want to hear that.
Holy cow. Let's see. So the states that I've been in so far are, man.
You know what, Alan,
okay,
I'll tell you
what,
here's an easier way because I could tell you what states you were in. Just tell me the furthest you were out east.
Furthest I was out east was
Pennsylvania?
What was it?
Jersey?
Ohio.
New England?
Ohio. Ohio was the furthest east.
Oh, really?
So
Missouri to Ohio, you got Missouri, Indiana, Illinois. I don't know if you clipped Iowa if you went north, but Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Did you get down to Kentucky, Tennessee?
Got down to, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas. Yeah, did not hit Louisiana or Florida, and I got all the way up to Wisconsin.
How about Texas?
Have not hit Texas yet.
Okay. How about Tennessee and Kentucky?
Yep. Hit Tennessee and Kentucky.
Did you clip West Virginia?
Barely. I was
didn't go from like Ohio down to Virginia, like you didn't, or down to North Carolina. So you didn't run down 77 through West Virginia on those hills, did you?
No.
Okay. I hear you. How about west? Did you go west of Missouri?
Not yet.
So you didn't, because I think if I remember correctly, you were talking about running between Colorado and Pennsylvania. Wasn't that the sector,
yes,
or whatever they call it?
Yes, it's called the Midwest Corridor is what they call it. And
corridor.
I went ahead and I kind of took your advice, and rather going out 7 and being home 2, I went ahead to get that extra drive time and the extra miles. I went ahead and opted for the OTR version of that same corridor and can even go outside of that and then be out 20 day or 28 and home 6.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully I'll get some of those other states here in the near future.
Well, what's cool about that, Alan, also, if you're running between Colorado and the East Coast, you're in St. Louis, right? Not where you live?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, St. Louis is really like almost sort of in the middle of it. If you're running, especially out in Denver, you got to come across 70. The only way you're not going to do that is if you've got to jump up to Nebraska and Iowa, Wisconsin and all that. You're going to take whatever that interstate is. I can never remember. But for the most part, you'll probably run a lot of 70. And what I'm getting at is if you time it right, you can probably take your 10 hours you know, I mean, do a sleepover at the house, even in between like teen day out thing. There's gonna, that should happen for you,
right,
if that's
right,
the corridor you're staying in. Now, if they're running you down to Florida and Texas and all that other stuff, or, you know, I mean, then you're pretty much, you know, it's just hit and miss, man. How about any close calls and anybody, and you didn't have any little backup incidents or accidents, any scrapes yet, did you?
No, you know, I am. There's something about, I looking back, I wish I would have done this a long time ago, but at the same time, I don't know if I would have been in the right mindset 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when I had that opportunity before. But there's definitely, man, I hear you guys talking about it, the lifestyle. There's something about being on the road, and guys that I talked to before I even started school saying how they're home for 2 or 3 days and they can't wait to get back. There's something about being out on the road that's really peaceful, especially running at night.
You have that. Are you at home right now, Alan, or are you on the road?
I'm at home right now. I just got home yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock. What?
Today?
Yesterday at 1 o'clock, I got home.
Now, do you have that itch to get back out there yet or not?
I kind of do, actually. I picked up
there
my
Galaxy. There you go, man. That's how you know
too.
You love
yeah.
it, man. That's pretty cool. I want to So the only thing I would tell you is just make sure you keep getting out and looking, backing up, and just stay safe. It sounds like you're doing your thing and all. But let's, Alan, swing our attention to young Tyler. Let's get on him for a second here. And he's kind of acted like a trucker this week, Alan. He got in his car pickup the other day, and he drove from North Dakota out to Utah, and because he's got some stuff to do out there in Utah with the Air Force. And he went across Montana and had himself a blast, you know, trucking out there. And there he is now running around like a wild man. Tyler, how you liking it out there in old Utah, old Mormon country? You see any guys
you know,
with like 20 wives?
Not yet. No. You know, I've seen the kind of, you know, they're kind of a tire, you know, the kind of a tire, usually the kind of the, you know, that the female religion, you know, they're kind of what they wear, you know, so I'm guessing I've seen some of them, but, you know, as far as Utah is concerned, I'll be honest, it's growing on me. I've been here 2 days now, and, you know, when I first got in here, coming from North Dakota, you know, driving through Yellowstone and everything, it was like nice, cool 50 degrees. I had my window down just cruising, and get here, and it's 94 degrees. I'm like, what is this? Like, come on now. I'm not used to sweating, you know, and, but it's, you know, it's been like right now it's 92 out, but it's like kind of a little, oh, okay. It feels real nice. The mountains, you know, around, they look real pretty. And, hey, it's growing on me. I've missed seeing the high altitude areas, you know, coming after living in Alaska for a while there. I just really missed it. So the drive though, man, thankfully, I don't have to, being in a four-wheeler, I don't have to worry about another DOT, you know, 10-hour rest and all that stuff. So I kind of just booked it over here. I think I stopped for like 3 hours and took a nap, just because I wasn't sure how Yellowstone was. So I didn't want to drive through Yellowstone in the dark without ever, you know, being down that highway. So I kind of just, which I'm glad because I wanted, it was a really gorgeous ride. So I'm glad I was able to actually see it in the daylight. So, it's pretty nice.
Tyler's wife is a pretty little thing. Her name is Christina. And Christina, sweetheart, if you're listening in and Tyler asks you, hey, I found a place out here, why don't you move out here? And we'll have our life together out here. Christina, if I was you, I would ask him if he's married. And not just to you.
She becomes the second wife that comes in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple concubines and a wife or two. I don't know, man. I'm not into that. You know, I got a wife, and I got to be honest with you, man. There's no way I want another one. I love my wife, but she's a handful. You know, little German girl, and she's a handful. So I definitely I'm not going to go to Utah and end up with a bunch of other women to take care of. Oh gosh.
I can't imagine the truckers out of Utah maybe that are, you know, into that faith and everything, that have to come home and have 6 different to-do lists to get done in 2 days. Like,
yeah.
Come on, what are you going
to
do?
How would you like to be a trucker polygamist? I mean, I don't know, man. Alan, what about you, buddy? Would you want to be
thanks.
A trucking polygamist? Huh?
No. No.
Yeah.
Not unless it was, and not to sound chauvinistic, because definitely not the intent, but what comes to mind is not unless I was single and happened to be dating multiple people. Yeah, that's not happening. That's just, man, that's a sadist if I ever heard one. I mean, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah,
but, hey, I do have to tell you,
what do you think that question would be on your trucking company? So how many wives can I have in my truck at one time?
I was just going to say, what kind of weather policy would a polygamist have to have?
Well, that's when you'd have to get like the, 106-inch sleeper or something with the triple bunk or something.
Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Oh, man, those are nice. One of my buddies is about to put one of those on his truck actually here in a couple months, man. It's
nice.
It's going to look good. Those are nice, but...
Who's that?
Crazy,
man. Jared.
Jared. Yeah, he's about to pull
one
on.
He's a bed bugger. Those bed buggers, they can get away with that crap, putting a 5,000-feet sleeper on their truck.
Yeah.
Them bed buggers, they're special. That's a special kind of trucker there. Hey, you know what? That's true, man. Those bed buggers ought to be polygamous. You know that. Get themselves a couple wives. What do you do? Like, you got to get a rider pass, and do you just get a rotating rider pass? Because some companies only let you take one rider at a time. So if you have, like, five wives, I guess you just kind of break up the year with different wives. I mean, craziness, man. So, anyways, I'm just getting silly here. Guys, I got to throw this out real quick. You know, I love this show so much. We want to thank everybody that has been writing, man. Alan, we've been getting so many letters and comments and awesome. And I got to tell you, in case anybody's wondering, I don't know, nobody probably cares, but TalkCDL.com, in the ranking of world rankings, if you honestly and truly didn't know this, and this is an insane number, in less than a year, there's over 1 billion worldwide websites. Literally, if you pull up Alexa, that's the world ranking website place, if you've ever heard of that, it's called Alexa, and type in talkcdl.com and look at our ranking. You'll be very... Now, look, Facebook and YouTube, they're like number one and two stuff. That's a prestigious ranking. But think about this. Out of 1 billion, we're what, Tyler? Right around 11 million? I mean, how crazy is that? You would think we would
We're doing pretty good. Yeah.
Well, Tyler, you would almost... Wouldn't you think TalkCDL should be more like 500 million? You know, I mean, there's 1 billion. I mean, I would be honored to be under half, you know, in the 50 percentile. But we're in the 1% or something like that. It's just crazy. You know, I mean, what, Alan, you got a calculator on you. What percent is 11 million or... It's 11 million out of 1 billion. What is that? Like 11%?
Hang on one second.
That's got to be.
11 million out of how much?
1 billion. 11 million out of 1 billion. Is that basically, what is that? 11% or 1%?
Hang on a minute. I'm not, okay, there we go. It's 1%.
That's sick. That's just... And honestly, that's just sick in my head. I mean, and if you go on Alexa, I was on there the area. We were like 11,300,000 or 11,500,000, whatever. I mean, it was just like, how do you get there? How do you get there? That doesn't even make sense. And one of the biggest things is like the average person goes on our website and spends over 6 minutes on the website, where the average person on most websites spend like under a minute. You know, that's a big thing, I guess. And, you know, people are just coming and going. And I just think that's awesome, man. What do you think, guys? Any thoughts on this before we wrap this show up and give final thoughts?
Well, I want to interject on that, because even before I went to school, I plugged into you guys. And the information and just the variety of topics and stuff, I think, really appeals to a really wide range of people, whether you're driving or not. Whether it's just a lifestyle or interest, or even families of drivers can listen to it, you know, relatives. And so it's not a very tight, specific niche type of program. So I think that's a big bonus, but it's appealing. The way that you guys put it together really creates a level of interest and desire just to want to hear, because it's real light. It's not the rigidity isn't there, so it's it's real listener friendly.
Keep talking. You're giving me a good compliment. Swelling my head up a little.
I do got to say, though, my buddy Wes in orientation was up in Minot. I told him to look you up on Facebook and send you a message, but I think you might have been gone already, Tylus.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love trucking. I love the world of trucking. You know, everybody we talk to and socialize with, they're here, they're there, they're gone, they're here. You know, I mean, it's just such a cool industry. You know, even though I don't even drive anymore, I'm still out there. Some would say that I'm really out there, out in left field. But anyways, Alan, give me your final thoughts, brother, on protecting yourself and talk CDL and all that other good stuff.
You know, really, I think for me, it's just really be aware of your surroundings, look around and kind of know where you're parking and take some of the simple precautions. The other night, like I said, I used the seatbelt technique. I've got a set of ratchet straps I'm throwing in my truck. And I think as long as you communicate and you walk around and you kind of have that persona of don't mess with me and you let people know that you're aware of what's going on around you, I think that'll help minimize it. But just really be aware of what's going on and don't take anything for granted.
Tyler, go ahead. Wrap up your thoughts there, buddy.
First thing I wanted to mention here is I just kind of was driving down towards the mountains here, and a dude pulling a trailer just allowing a bunch of tree branches flying off on the interstate here. Kind of crazy. DOT needs to catch that guy. But as far as, you know, security, you know, for truckers and everything, man, practice security. Keep yourself safe. You know, if the, you know, truck stop's full and, you know, you can't get in there, be very skeptical where you park and sleep for the night, because you know, you don't want to park in an area that you're kind of putting yourself larger at risk. You know, case the place out, just like you case out a place to live, you know, make sure. And if your kids won't be able to run around and play around that area, you know, maybe you shouldn't, you know, risk your life and stay the night there. So I don't know. Aside from that, I just say drive safe and head over to talkcdl.com. You know, listen to our episodes there on the homepage and, you know, scroll around and have fun over there.
All right. Well, you know, my final thoughts are, I say the same thing every time. If we're alive tomorrow, we're going to get up and do the show, Lord willing. All right. Today's topic, keeping yourself safe on the road. Guys, I know a lot of you know, and gals, especially gals. I'll tell you something else we didn't talk about is a guard dog. A lot of these companies do allow pets. And I'll tell you, you know, even if you got a little dog that barks, it's at least a warning. You know what I mean? It's a warning system. And, you know, what Alan said, sometimes if you look like you're not afraid, you don't become a victim. You know, somebody that's not looking around is really easy to strike. If you walk with your head up, you look people in the eye like you ain't afraid, a lot of times you can bluff them into not making you a victim. But anyways, if you got a chance, get yourself a dog. If your company allows you to get one that's really, honestly, isn't afraid to protect you. You know, that's I know a lot of women have told me, and I think Kelly even mentioned it before, that, you know, she used to take a dog with her. And to be honest with you, most people think twice about robbing a house with dogs, or one that has a sign about guns, or, you know, same with a trucker. You know, they're going to think twice before, you know, coming in your truck, especially if they see some teeth. That's what I would do. Flare guns, if your company doesn't want you to carry, I would tell you, get yourself a flare gun. And the bad guy takes a shot in the face with one of those flare guns, I promise you, he ain't going to be a bad guy much longer. He might be forced into humility there and have to go get surgery on his face. Knives, guns, whatever. I mean, I'm just telling you. And always pray. You know, that's really the bottom line. Protect yourself. Keep your doors locked. Keep your windows up. Park in lit up, well-lit areas if you can. Try to plan ahead. And always be watching, like I said, around you. Carry flashlights. And you know what? The mag lights, they make good clubs also. Carry them like a police officer. You know how they look in on your window? They do that because it's not only the way they stand. It's not the cool look. What it is they also can swing it like a bat. That's why they hold it differently than most people over their head. Anyways, till we meet again, guys and gals, we'll, Lord willing, post the topic on there sometime tomorrow. and we'll see you tomorrow night. God bless everybody, and we'll see you. Good night.